Welcome to the Light of the World. This is Jerry G. Martin. We are coming up on the most holiest of days that is celebrated by Christian believers. It is the time that we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to present you a series of messages that will help you to understand what Jesus Christ did, but more importantly, why he did it. It was to offer sinful people eternal life. I want you to listen closely and even contact someone in your family who needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of today's message, we're going to share an opportunity for you or anyone you know to come to know Jesus. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's word.
This bread is my body. See, the original unleavened bread symbolized the severance from the old life in Egypt and carrying nothing of that pagan life into the promised land. That's what it is. The unleavened bread, we don't have time to bake this bread. It's unleavened. We're getting out of here so fast. We're breaking out of Egypt and we're going to a new land, and we're not carrying anything out of Egypt into this new land. It represented the separation from worldliness and sin and the beginning of a new life of holiness and godliness. That's what it represented, that unleavened bread. We're going from the old to the new. We don't want to take this stuff that we got out of Egypt into the new land. Jesus transformed the symbolism where bread would represent Christ's own body, sacrificed then for the salvation of men. And by his sacrifice, men could be separated from their sin and can begin a new life of holiness and godliness. My sacrifice and the giving of this body will separate men from their sin. Then you can have a new life. You don't have to live that old life where you are bound up with sin and evil ways and evil thoughts and evil deeds where you can't stop when you try to stop. You got a habit. I got a habit. I can't stop. I'm trying. You know, I got this hang up. I got this hook up. I got all this stuff going on. You know I'm trying, but you know how it is. You know how it is. Yeah, I know how it is. I was there. But what Jesus did on the cross broke the power of sin so that you don't have to do that no more. See, before Jesus Christ come into your life, you have to sin because that's your nature. That's your DNA. He gives you some more DNA. You have the DNA of the righteousness of God. Amen. Jesus transformed that. And as the disciples drank the cup, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant." From Luke, he says that the new covenant, distinguishing it from all of the previous covenants that they had, all the previous agreement. When God made covenants with Noah and with Abraham, don't you know those covenants were ratified and verified in blood? Amen. When the covenant at Sinai was made with Moses, Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with these words." God brought reconciliation with himself. And when God reconciles us with himself throughout the Bible, throughout the religious experience of God's people, God always reconciled himself with us when we broke favor and faith with him. But the price has always been blood. When Adam and Eve broke fellowship with God, God came and he slayed an animal and put the skin on them, and the blood was shed. The book of Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So a sacrificial animal not only had to be killed, but its blood had to be shed. That's where all the sacrifices was. And since you shed this blood, you put the blood out here, the blood is shed, you come, but that did not save you. That just covered you for a moment, temporarily, and they had to keep doing that. That's why they kept offering these sacrifices in the Day of Atonement to try to bring you back in with God. But you didn't have God in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit. Leviticus 17:14 says, the life of all flesh is in the blood. The blood is so important. I guarantee you, even if you go into devil worship, you know what they're going to do? They're going to drink some blood. They know the importance of the blood. You go into these pagan worshipers, they want to get some blood. God says, if we're going to reconcile, I can't stand sin. I can't coexist with sin. So when there's sin, if there's going to be forgiveness and reconciliation, something's going to have to die. Either you or sacrifice. And Jesus came and said, so that you don't have to die eternally, I'm going to be that sacrifice. You see, we just live in a physical body, but our spirit's going to keep on going. So he's not talking about the death in this physical body. He's talking about eternal death and eternal separation from God. He says, now, if you want to avoid eternal separation from God and destruction and hell fire, I'm going to make a way for you to do that. But you can't do it on your own because you're a sinner and you can't stand before God. Somebody's going to have to come in between you and him, and he's going to have to see some blood so he can pass over you. That's what it's all about, that Passover. Therefore, Jesus did not simply have to die, but he had to also shed his own precious blood. He shed his blood from the crown of thorns that were placed on his head. He shed his blood from the beatings and the scourgings that he took. He shed his blood when he was pierced in the side and blood come rushing out. But the shedding of his blood symbolized his atoning death that brought us back into fellowship with God. So the giving of his unblemished, pure, and righteous life, he gave that for the corrupt, depraved, and sinful lives of men. And you know that blood can cover any condition and anything that you've gone through. You can't be so bad that the blood don't cover that. Don't matter what you've done in your life, don't matter what disappointment, no matter how low you have gotten, it's just like that blood that covered those doors in Egypt. He said, we don't care who you drag in here, as long as he's in the house and the blood's on the door, we will pass over that. We're not going inside to do no inventory to see who's in there. He can't come in there. No, you're in. No, he didn't come in there and say, get him out of there. We don't like him. He's vile. He's horrible. He's evil. We can't cover. No, it is the blood that God looks for. When you stand before him in judgment, he wants to see that you have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us while we were still sinning. We couldn't get right. We couldn't do right. But he knows that. He said, I can't wait for you to get right. I'm going to stretch my hands and I'm going to stay on a tree because I love you so much. You can't get right. You can't get good enough for him to save you. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So on that night he was betrayed. On that night that his disciples were arguing about who's going to be the greatest, he brought them together to fellowship one last time.
Yes, indeed.
And shortly thereafter, Judas walked up to him in the garden and the soldiers took him away. That night wasn't over. Peter turned his back on Jesus and acted like he didn't know him. Boy, there was some stuff going on that night. It wasn't long after they got through eating that Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. I know what's coming. It won't be long. I just need some encouragement from my Father. And I need two or three people to touch and agree with me, but he couldn't find nobody. They were asleep.
That's right.
He said, now these are the folks that I, these are the ones I know that can touch and agree with me. He went back to see them and they still sleeping. They said, we've been up all night. We done ate. Now I'm finna rap back. You know how we do after we get through eating? Well, I done ate now. Ooh, Lord, I'm sleeping. I would be praying with you. I would come to the prayer meeting, Jesus. But you know, we done had a long day. I would come to the prayer meeting. And my feet's clean, too. You done washed my feet. They clean. I'm relaxed. And you talking about praying? He went back, what, the third time? He said, y'all go on and sleep. That's when he said, can you just hang with me for 1 hour? I said, you going to pray for an hour? You going to pray for an hour this time of night? They still didn't get it. His crew couldn't hang with him. And it was shortly thereafter, he was falsely accused. He was spit on. Yes. He was mocked. Yes. He was ridiculed and he was beaten. Then he was hung on a cross to die. But he didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it so we could be free from the bondage of sin and we can have a new life in Christ. I'm wondering what he was thinking about when he was getting hit with that whip. And with every time he get hit, I think he probably saw one of us. He says, I'm going to stay here so they can be saved. Every time they spit on him, instead of just getting mad, he said, yeah, but Brother Shepherd need to be saved. Every time they hit on him and cursed him, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about us even now in this generation. Somebody going to need salvation. Somebody going to need some blood poured out for them. Somebody going to need an avenue so they can come to Christ. The Bible said, oh, for the joy set before him, he withstood the cross. The joy was that you can be saved. The joy was that you can live a life that God has in store for you. Your joy is that you can have eternal life. He said, oh, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Yeah, I can take it. So you can make it. Yeah, that's what we're doing on this night. I want my blood so on you so we can pass over you. When the enemy comes to try to destroy you. When the time of judgment and God has to separate those who are saved and those who are unsaved. He will see my blood. That has been poured out for you. He gave up his body and poured out his blood. But he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and we brought you a message today to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we are coming toward our Good Friday and Easter celebration, our Resurrection Sunday, I think it is so vital that we share the message of the grace and the goodness, the redemption and the forgiveness that Jesus Christ brings to every person. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you are, and I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity, if you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, to make a decision right now. It was Jesus. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. If you are lost and you feel hopeless or helpless or disconnected in your spiritual life, today is a great opportunity for you just to turn to Christ and invite him into your heart, invite him into your life, and he will come in with his divine power and his spirit, and he will do for you what he's done for me and so many others. He will turn your life around. If you would like us to join you and pray with you and help you to get connected, call us right now at 281-964-1393 and say, I made a decision for Christ. I need to get connected so I can continue to grow. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Jesus Christ came to give you everlasting life, and we will walk that journey out with you. Be sure to call us and then join us for our Easter Sunday service at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road or online at lowcf.org. Now for the light of the world, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.